Hey, kid.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Hey Kids Comics. It's roll call time.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle, and I'm here.
It's Martin Bruda, and I'm here, too.
And yeah. It's Dan Collins, and I'm here.
Yeah, I was barely here.
Barely
here. 11 minutes ago, I was actually asleep on my couch at home. I guess actually looking at the clock,
it's about
13 minutes looking at the clock, so the fact that I've made it in time is absolutely incredible to me. So
were you sleeping on the couch, or were the cats sleeping on you?
Oh, it was both. And I looked at my watch, and I realized I had like 11 minutes to get here, and I jumped up, and two cats went flying. And they're probably still at the house freaking out, like, what the hell was that about? Because, you know, it wasn't really all that long ago that happened.
In your rush, though, did you forget your portion of the show today?
No, I totally got my portion of the show.
You've got the news?
I do.
All right, sweet. I just didn't see any papers, and Chris is always prepared with papers.
It's all in my head.
We're in trouble.
I've queued up Bleeding Cool here just in case.
Just in case.
Once you go into Sam's head, there's no coming back.
Yeah, darn right, man.
All right.
All right.
World-breaking comic book news. Yeah, let's go.
Right into it. Well, okay, you know what? I think what's very interesting is I think it was a really slow week when it came to comic news. Maybe I think after the announcement of Rebirth, everybody's kind of laying low right now. But it's really interesting because a lot of news tidbits have a lot to do with the aftermath of the popularity of the Deadpool movie. And a lot of movie studios seem to be wanting to get onto the rated R game. There's three headlines this week about movies going the rated R route. One is the fact that it looks like the Venom film is now back up and running as a Marvel Spider-Man spinoff, which will be rated R. And I don't know how they would develop a Venom film as a whole film. I mean, I don't know. Are they doing Venom Space Night? Are they doing Venom as a bad guy?
Well, we had a hard time trying to figure out how they would do Guardians of the Galaxy as a movie, and they did quite successfully. Mm-hmm. So, and, I mean, this whole let's make an R-rated movie. I mean, just because Deadpool was successful as an R-rated movie, mm-hmm. now everything has to be R-rated, like an R-rated Fantastic Four. Would that have worked any better?
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
It's the source material. Like, Deadpool is an adult-oriented comic. So if you're going to make Sandman...
Yeah.
Make that R-rated.
R-rated. Watchmen could have been a great R-rated.
Watchmen could have been R-rated.
Oh, was it R-rated?
No.
I think it might have been in the States in like 14A here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you have to have Batman versus Superman? Batman v Superman with a whole bunch of F-bombs being dropped?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Marty, because they have announced that there will be a director's cut Batman versus Superman available on DVD. It will not be in theaters, which will be R-rated.
R-rated or unrated?
R-rated.
Yeah, see, again, I don't understand. Like,
there's going to be extended battle scenes, which will be more violent.
Oh, okay.
And who knows what else they'll do. But it just seems like almost like the guys from, in the article I read, it just, like, because there wasn't a lot of information because it seems so last minute. We're going to suddenly make another version, but have it ready for DVD, which will be R-rated because that's the trend that we're going on.
Until they all flop and then they'll decide to do something else.
But on the other hand, the Disney Marvel Studios have announced that they have no plans to do any R-rated superhero films.
Again, first off, it's Disney.
Yeah.
Disney's whole purpose in life, in existence, is to sell toys and coloring books and rainbow balloons and, you know, what was that caravel cake with Sparky the Whale or something? I'm dating myself. Anyways.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Anyways, like their whole purpose is to sell stuff to kids. Mm. So why would they all of a sudden make an R-rated Avengers? Because then... Well, the action figures don't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, Iron Man with pull-string F-bomb action, you know, and he starts, fiddle-faddling. That makes no sense.
But you know what I think is really... And a good thing about the Avengers movies is I know a lot of kids that love that franchise. It's one of the franchises that adults and kids can go together and both equally enjoy for the same reasons. For the same reasons, not even... Like a reason, you have a reason for loving it, and they have a reason for loving it. You're all loving it because it's the same thing. So, you're right, it wouldn't make sense to do...
Do they have an Steve Rogers Captain America toy, though, where you pull the string and he tells Iron Man, language! Yeah.
That's what Dan says to me and Marty. You're the Captain America of this radio show.
Did you guys
I'll
see
take
the
a compliment.
Did you guys see the tweet there that Ryan Reynolds did to... Chris Evans did mm-hmm. to Ryan Reynolds about, you know, hey, great movie shot on the movie and stuff. And he was kind of in Captain America character, and Ryan Reynolds kind of gave him some props back. And then Robert Downey Jr. tweets, hey, to Deadpool, just wait until the Cap tells you language.
Yeah. That's great. So
that was
That's
pretty
fun. I don't think that this is the news that really captivated me the last week and a half. I don't know if it... if you guys saw much of it, but they've been casting the new CW Riverdale TV series.
Oh, who's Alice Cooper?
Alice Cooper is a singer.
No, in Riverdale.
Okay, Alice Cooper is Betty's mom.
Madchen Amick?
I know.
Is going to be Betty's mom.
That makes no sense. Oh. She's like your age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
But, this is the thing, in the Archie universe...
Wouldn't Betty's mom be my age?
Well,
I have teenage children.
I know. Well, in the Archie universe...
I actually have children in school.
I know that, but in the Archie universe, the adult seems so old. You know, like Archie...
Oh, okay, I see. So not old enough.
Right.
Oh,
Archie's dad's being played by Luke Perry. Right? And, of course, Archie's dad's a bald guy with a big beer belly and, you know, a mustache. And he's being played by Luke Perry.
Well, Luke Perry's got to be 50-something by now.
Okay. There's some things that...
You got to remember in the 50s, they looked older.
True.
Harder living.
Harder living.
As somebody said on the Archie message board, it's not that they were not old enough, they weren't hip. The parents weren't hip and good-looking. But
and now they are.
Apparently. But
they should use us if they want not hip and good looking.
That's right. But I don't know if you guys have seen the casting, but a lot. You know, now, I'm getting all this news from the Archie message boards, and we're kind of jerky, and we like our Riverdale the way
okay.
we like it, right?
Really? I had no idea from previous shows that you didn't like change to Archie.
Right.
No
what
do
you
idea
talk
at
about?
All.
The Sam's here is the most open-minded person on Facebook, exactly. According to his post.
Exactly. some of the casting has been completely weird. You guys know who the Sprouse twins are?
No.
They were former Disney teen idols. One of the Sprouse twins is playing Jughead, you know, a former Disney Channel teen idol. Archie's not a redhead.
Who's Archie?
I can't remember the name of the actor. He's some guy no one's ever seen. Josie and the Pussycats will...
So I would be a better Archie than this guy?
Oh, my God. You look more like Archie than this guy.
Sweet.
Josie and the Pussycats will be played by three black women. Instead of two white girls and a black girl, it's, you know... but what Bleeding Cool came out with is they actually got a copy of the script. Have you guys heard about the plot line of the new Archie TV series?
No.
Or would you be interested to hear about that?
Sure,
okay.
Fire away.
So it starts up with the murder of Jason Blossom, who is a minor Archie comic character that is pretty expendable. He is the brother of Cheryl Blossom. Meanwhile, Archie comes back to Riverdale after working construction all summer with his father, and he is sleeping with his music teacher and blackmailing her. Archie and Jughead are rivals. Reggie's an alcoholic. Betty has self-esteem issues and is a drug addict, and Veronica's Hispanic. So, welcome to Riverdale. Now, I think a lot of us have a problem that that doesn't sound like Archie to us. You know, it just seems like that they've come up with their own show, and they're putting Archie characters' names on their teen characters. Because it just seemed... Oh, and there's a dark secret. Archie has a dark secret that he's not sharing with everybody.
That he's a redhead. Secretly.
He's a ginger.
He's a ginger. That's his...
That's my dark secret.
Okay, but when you take a look at any of the TV adaptations mm-hmm. that have happened, even the successful ones yes. like Smallville and all that mm-hmm. stuff, none of them are really close to the source material.
I understand that.
None of them.
But when it comes to Archie, this is just a little... out there.
So it's because you like it, though.
Oh, come on, guys. Come on. Just
well,
work with me here.
I don't think it's any more... Okay. I get where you're coming, but I don't think it's any more out there than some of the other ones that have been out there.
Right. But the Archie sleeping with his music teacher and blackmailing her?
Sure, why not?
We're talking Archie here.
They put Oliver...
high school student does that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, really?
They put Oliver Queen on TV without a goatee.
Oh, I don't know. Anyways,
let's not even get into this. Laurel even... Lance and Lisa Lance and but Lana this, Lance.
But
and
this is why I don't.
Lori Lance.
But this is why I don't watch.
She's a mermaid, eh? Lori Lance?
It was Lori Lemus.
I think you missed what I was talking
okay,
about.
Okay, well, anyways, that's why I don't watch Arrow, right? And imagine me watching something that's not Black and Arrow's in and I'm not even watching it, right? Because it has to be just out there. Anyways. Those are my news items. Basically.
I got one minor news item.
Okay,
too.
Go for it.
This is a bit of nostalgia here because Dan DiDio, I guess they had some in-store comic convention stuff going on, so they did a little podcasting and stuff, and he mentioned that his favorite new DC Comics Rebirth title is Super Sons, which we looked at and we were like, well, what does Super Sons mean? What's going to be? And he specifically gets into it that this is indeed. A modernization of the pre-crisis Sons of Superman and Sons of Batman that appeared in World's Finest.
How fun is that?
You know, as a kid of the 70s, I read those comics and loved them.
Yeah.
So he's saying that that's what that title's going to be. So it's not going to be like Damian and Connor or whoever the heck is Superboy and Robin right now, but this is actually going to be those Super Sons coming back. Now, how is it all going to fit? And are they going to call him Damian? Or, like, you know, yeah. I don't know how that's all going to work. Mm-hmm. But I thought that would be neat.
It will be neat. I'll be looking forward to that.
Talk about a callback to everybody who was complaining about continuity and stuff.
That means that they can open anything.
Exactly. Like
that means Scooter can be coming back.
Scooter's not coming back. You do know that Dan DiDio's still there.
Yes, I do. Really? What was it? Who's it?
Uncle Dan will not let Scooter come back.
The guy that does Auric was saying that he
Davis.
Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
It was Davis that did the pitch.
Great modern Scooter pitch. And it worked.
Davis Dewsbury.
It works. It was fantastic. You know, if me and him should be teaming up on that.
Well, write a pitch. Send it into Dan.
Yeah, Dan sees me.
Don't send it into Dan. Send it into John. Jeff Jones.
Yeah. And because he likes that kind of stuff,
and
too.
And Dan Parent has said that he would actually draw a Scooter book for DC.
Oh, could you imagine?
It. Yeah. Dan said he'd do it.
That'd be hilarious.
Did you, now, of course, Die Kitty Die came out. Did you read it yet?
I haven't. I didn't do the Kickstarter. Oh. I ended up putting all my money into Auric.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
So me and Marty's read it.
So quick synopsis there. Dan Parent and...
Fernando Ruiz,
very, very prolific Archie comic artists and writers, decided to strike off on their own a little bit and do a Archie-esque title of their own. So it's got the family fun, friendly animations of girls in brassieres. And so they released as a Kickstarter. So 4 issues. Issue 1 is done and it got released digitally.
Yep.
Issue 2, 3, and 4 are going to come, and then they're going to be hardcover bound for the Kickstarter people. So we got issue 1.
Yes.
And you thought?
I loved it. I loved it. I laughed. I actually sat there laughing out and cheering like out loud, like, yes, as reading it. I just it's very meta in the fact that it is it's definitely an open critique on reboot, the premise of rebooting.
Now spoilers. We're not going to talk about plot specifics.
No, but I mean...
But the thing that you liked is something that I kind of was a little questioning, because it is very much an inside joke kind of book. If you know what has happened to these two creators, you know what's been going on in Archie, you read this comic and it's like, yes, 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 hit him again, hit him again. But if you didn't...
I still think you can enjoy it.
I think a lot of it would fall flat.
Yeah, I think you can enjoy it, though, because you can see, because it of course, it's a lot about the what's been going on at Archie, and it's very inside joke, or even inside joke. I mean, Fernando just left Archie Comics publicly, and, you know, and right before Die Kitty Die. I'd be very curious to know what the Archie people think of this book. But
now, not only Archie, though. I mean, like we were talking about earlier today, it's also a critique on Marvel, DC,
definitely
the variant cover nonsense, the gimmicks,
the new 52, one that Marvel has now. What is it called?
Marvel Now.
All new, all different.
All different. Yeah. So if you can understand that kind of thing, that's definitely a go at that. And I love the executives at the comics. So you basically have like the hardcore bro who doesn't even read comics, and he just wants to, you know, get Hollywood people in there to write them. You have the manager who's very Dan Didio, where he's just reboot, you know. And then you have like the art director who just wants to get like really kind of bizarre, sketchy, art, you know, unconventional artists to come in and overhaul. And and the art's beautiful. It's sexy. It's
the humor is very
funny.
It's a little bit more adult than your average Archie style comic book. So this isn't necessarily meant for my younger kids, but my older kids would get an absolute hoot out of this.
Yeah, it's risque without being dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's say it's not hardcore, but it's a little
should be good.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's first issue too, right?
It's
going to be a 4-issue arc first, and and we're going to see how it goes. I mean, you can't judge too much by it.
You know, somebody in this studio is actually making a cameo in issue two.
Apparently.
That's right.
Is it you?
Yes, it is me.
There you go. I thought maybe it was your cat that you had in your pocket.
No, I woke up to be surprised one morning about 2 weeks ago to see that there's a convention sequence, which panels of people at a convention panel. And Fernando has actually been drawing in people from the Fan of Archie comic site, also students from the Kubrick School that he's with, and people that have been supporters of Archie for a while. I was very surprised to see myself tagged on one of the photos, and that was my profile picture on Facebook for about a week or two.
Yeah, except it's not you.
Well, it is me.
No, it's not you. It's Drake.
Drake. Yeah, it's definitely Drake. And you mentioned my cat in my pocket.
I didn't mention that.
Oh, did I?
Yes, Marty did.
Marty did.
All right, let go on with your cat.
Oh my God. Okay, so
can't believe we made it this far without talking about your cat.
I know. So if anybody's out there, it stops into their local comic book store. If you haven't got it yet, you don't necessarily have to buy it, but you should. Patsy Walker, aka Hellcat number 3. My cat, Amy Meowhouse, is in the letter page. So her picture in the first issue of Patsy Walker, they said, send in pictures of your cats. So I sent in a picture of my cat, Amy, reading Patsy Walker. She is reading the latest issue, and then she has, like, two vintage issues. And they printed it. Unfortunately, they printed the picture really dark. And out of the pictures in the book, my cat's the hardest one to see.
But you could tell it's a cat standing on a comic.
Yeah.
In front of a comic.
And I have a letter there as well.
There you go.
The letter's not very good, though. I didn't really say anything.
It's all right.
I just wanted them to print the picture of my cat.
So life goal checked off. Your cat was in a comic book.
That's something for my bucket list. This is the seventh time I've been printed in comics. Had letters printed, but it's the first time in a Marvel comic.
That's it. Sam Tweedle nominated for the Schuster Award for the TM Maple Award.
DM Maple, I remember.
Exactly.
He's passed on, eh?
Yeah, well, the Schuster Awards actually have an award for an individual who is not a creator or not a publisher and stuff that has made a significant contribution. It's called the TM Maple Award.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's been awarded to T.M. Mabel.
Yeah.
What was his name? Jim Burns?
Something like that. Yeah, he's passed on.
And then another person has been awarded it too.
Back in the day, I mean, his letters were in every book.
And they were really good.
Really good letters, yeah. Yeah. I remember that. He was...
Dan here has no idea what we're talking
Yeah, no.
What's a letters page?
Well, once upon a time, there was this thing called a letters page.
Really?
But believe it or not...
What do people do with that?
They would send in letters about the comic.
What's a letter?
Yeah.
Is that like an email?
But what's really interesting is that, you know, people became celebrities in their own right by sending letters. And T.M. Mabel was one of the greatest.
Well, what happens is an editor would have a particular favorite correspondent that he would... Mm-hmm. Now, gosh only knows, maybe T.M. Mabel sent in, you know, 1,000 letters every month and he got one or two printed. So mm-hmm. maybe, you know, he was a zealot.
I love when they do those things every now and then where they'll show you'll see it online where you'll see like a letters page where somebody famous had written on a letter, like,
yeah,
there's that famous thing where the fellow who writes Game of Thrones,
George R. R. Martin,
yeah, and where he had like a letter published in Fantastic Four,
yeah,
and stuff like that. I always
they even people... like put those like in the slab notes and stuff, like George R. Martin letter, George R. R. Martin letter.
Cool.
So
that's cool. Yeah.
So even though because it's a slab and you can't read the comic, you can know that George R. R. Martin wrote a letter for it.
That's great.
That is actually defeating the purpose because you don't even get them digitally. Like, you know, if you want to read a comic on Marvel Universe digitally and own a slab, but they don't give you the letters.
You know what I liked in some of those old Marvel books was the Stan Lee soapbox.
Don't look at me. I'm a DC kid.
You never used to read Stan's soapbox?
No, I never once have I read a Stan's soapbox. I know they exist. I know what they are.
You wrote, you read Len Wein's Meanwhile.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that was in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I never once.
Read. Oh, Stan, I like Stan. I like Stan's soapboxes. Those are good.
Is that where he took credit for everything?
No, that's
he
where
stood
he
stood on a soapbox made out of the hearts and souls of all of his fellow creators that he crushed underneath him and took credit for everything.
Jesus, dude. This is the guy that's thinking of canceling going to Niagara Falls just so he can see Stan one more time.
No, it was just a thing on the internet. Oh, they were talking about once Stan passes, heaven forbid, that his legacy may be a little bit tarnished by a little retroactive history. And
jeez.
I mean, say what you will about the guy. The fact that he kind of stood in the forefront and became like a personal voice of the industry and his constant cheerleading for the industry. I mean, he did a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did a lot. He had lots of help. But he did do a lot.
Not one man can do it all alone.
You can't diminish the fact that, you know.
Just like this radio show.
Just like nobody, this radio show.
Nobody likes comics more than Stan Lee.
No, that's true. That's true. And he's a character, man. The guy's so larger than life.
Speaking of old Marvel comics.
Yeah.
Timely Comics is back. You heard this, right?
No, I heard something about it, but I don't know much about it.
So what Marvel has done is they've rebranded and reinvigorated the trademark of Timely Comics, which was... Mm-hmm. Marvel was called at one point in time.
In the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what they're going to be doing is releasing reprints of the first three issues of all their all-new, all-different titles under the Timely Comics banner for $3 a copy.
Jeez.
So you get issue 1, 2, and 3 for $3 U.S. So my first question is, all of us suckers that spent $12 for the first three issues, how do we feel about that?
Well, we got the first printings.
Yeah, first printings of what, the Future Dollar Bin comics?
Good point.
Like, who are they? Like, Davis was chatting with me a bit about this on the Facebook page, and you know he's thinking it's a great introduction for kids, and it's a lower price point, so you can get more people into it. And I agree with that, but it's only the first three issues, and there's been no announcement that they're going to continue publishing issue 4, 5, and 6 like this. And you know, everything's done for the trades, right? So everything's done in a 6-issue arc.
Yeah.
So is this going to be like those, here's the Walking Dead number one for $1, and here's Sandman number one for $1. It's a bit gimmicky.
It's a little gimmicky, but I also can't see it something that they're going to do for the next 50 years.
Well, my next trick question is,
okay,
they're doing this big, huge push into the Walmart in the States to start putting comic books into Walmarts.
That's cool.
Would these be the Walmart editions?
That's an odd question, interesting question,
too. So if you want the comic book, you go to a comic shop. But if your kid is sitting there complaining and whining because you're buying, you know, whatever it is that you buy at Walmart, and you want to shut them up, and you just grab it off the rack, $3, here you go.
Let me ask you this question. It's related but unrelated. Mm-hmm. It's like almost like I'm changing the topic, but I'm not.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Okay.
Because pretty much we just talked about like $3 reprint comics. There's nothing much to say.
Okay.
So please,
do
feel free.
You think if they put comics in Walmarts, do you think that would increase comic sales? Do you think that would...
Now, this is something I was going to talk about in a future show and maybe get one of my daughters to come in.
Okay.
Because my 10-year-old and 11-year-old read comics a lot, and they don't read anything that you find in a comic shop.
Okay.
So they'll go into a Walmart or Chapters, and they'll buy Babysitter's Club mm-hmm. is one title. And it's yep. basically a graphic novel, manga-sized, mm-hmm. Scholastic book size.
Yep.
And it's a graphic novel. It's all comic strippy. And they'll read that. They recently picked up a young Superman, young Batman, and young Wonder Woman in high school or in elementary school.
I was looking at that at World's Clyde today.
Yeah. So they picked that up. And... to be honest with you, their selection of graphic novels, so to speak, is almost as big as my trade paperback collection.
Mm-hmm.
My kids read comics, but they're not reading comics.
I was at your place one time, and Aaron was showing me books that I'd never seen before. Heard before. They was like, what are these?
So
like,
I might get one of them to come in and sort of, you know, chat about those.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like it's like a comic book industry is developing behind the scenes that we as comic collectors are not seeing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the section at Chapters is huge with these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've got reprints of like Bone and the Archie digests are there and stuff like this. But there's a whole whack of these original titles that are mm-hmm. coming out.
So if you think that they put in like, you know, all the new Marvel books and the DC books, do you think those would increase?
If they put Marvel comic books in there, 3 issues for $3 US. So $3 US is what? Four and change Canadian, right? Mm-hmm. What do they charge us for a $2.99 DC comic? So
it's under $5
at Dixon's or Jeff's.
It's under
it's
five.
Like $4.99.
Yeah, like
anyways.
Whatever.
So 3 issues, mm-hmm. right? So 60 some odd pages for $3. Mm-hmm. Heck, I mean, I used to buy the kids the Archie Digest every time I went to the grocery store because they were inexpensive and they were good to read. So I don't know.
Mm. Like, do you think that do you think comic guys would they leave the comic stores and start buying their comics at Walmart?
No, not comic guys. No.
Okay. So that industry would stay where it is.
I don't think a $5.99 Batman Dark Knight Returns 3 Frank Miller variant cover blah 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 would sell at Walmart.
Okay.
But these timely comic reprints or those another initiative they had in the States is they actually made $5 trade paperbacks.
Really?
Yeah. And it didn't come up here to Canada, but in the States you would go and they'd have an actual book section and there would be these $5 trade paperbacks. Hmm. So, you know, a little less fancier paper than what you get, a little, you know, cut down. I don't know whether it was 4 books. Like, I've never seen one, so I don't know. Hmm. But I don't know. I mean, we keep complaining that the generation of comic book readers is getting older and older and older, and the young ones aren't coming up.
But see, I'm starting to see kids in the comic stores again.
Are they coming into the comic store because they're reading these other graphic novels that they're getting at the Scholastic Book Club at mm-hmm. schools and getting at Chapters, and their dad is going, hey, that's a comic book. I read mm-hmm. comic books. Every week I go to a store that sells comic books. Your kids should come.
We were at the... comic book addiction warehouse sale today, and there was that one kid. There was kids there.
Yeah, but the one kid was dragged by his dad,
and it wasn't just the one kid, but there was other kids. But he was so excited about having. I was talking to the other guy there, and he's like, "Look, I have an Avengers book," and I'm like, "Yeah, exactly. You got the." I asked the other kid, "Hey, what are you buying?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm buying some sort of." And then look at my Avengers book. You know, and it was, you know.
Now,
like,
hopefully he gave him a done-in-one 70s, 80s Avengers book, not an all-new, all-different Avengers that you need to have read Marvel Now 1.0 Avengers issues 1 through 12 to understand.
It looked pretty all-new, all. But you know what, though? Is this kid was just excited because it was Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man.
But when he gets confused reading it, is he going to be excited to get another one?
Can he read? He was really little. Yeah. He was so little, but it was great. He was so excited to be with all the guys buying comics, you know, and then there were some a few other kids there. And we
now you don't have to read to be able to read comics,
no, like, not at all.
Because I read Scooby-Doo with my kids.
Sure,
where I'll read it and point to the panels. It's a little harder than reading a novel or something to them, but because I have to keep pointing to where we are in the comic book, but they love it.
But I think the idea that kids aren't reading comics is a myth more than anything now.
Well, that's exactly my point. Like, I walked into my kid's bedroom and there they are reading comic books, and it floored me because we go to Chapters to get books every couple of weeks or so as a little family get together, and they say, "Dad, can I get this?" And I look at it, and if it's from the young reader section, I figure, okay, it's okay. You know, you didn't grab a Harlequin romance, so sure, you know. What are you reading? I don't really know. It's called Babysitter Club. Okay, well, it's not called Hell Demon from from Planet 12.
It's not The Discipline.
It's not The Discipline from Image Comics. But I thought it was a book. And lo and behold, they're flipping through it. And I'm like, wait, those are panels. There's colors.
A number of years ago, they were doing Nancy Drew comics like that. And I had a hard time finding them. But when I could find them, because I couldn't get them through the comic store. I had to go look for them. And I got a batch of them. But I know the industry you're talking about. But you're right. It is an interesting that it is a hidden closet. Not closet industry. What would you call that? Cottage industry?
It's like a spin-off.
Spin-off.
Branch-off of the main industry.
Yeah, it is what Facts of Life was to Different Strokes.
Now, you're...
I don't get that reference.
Really?
Barely.
Okay.
You're Emma T. Capps?
Yeah, Emma, yeah.
It would seem like her material would be that type of thing that would get collected in these kind of books.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
well, I was talking to her this week. Yep. She is now an honorary member of the comic book mafia, Peterborough Comic Mafia, because she thought that was really cool. And I told her she was the Bonnie of our group now. So, well, you're looking at me like if that was a bad thing.
Peterborough Comic Book Social Club.
Oh, right.
Peterborough Comic Book Mafia is like Fight Club. We don't talk about Peterborough Comic Book Mafia.
Okay, sorry. Anyways, she was telling me that she is actually working. There will be a League of Fonts graphic novel that she's working towards. That's going to be the end result. Is a collected edition.
And I would definitely, if I was her, I would be talking to whoever is a literary agent for these bookstores and get it into that young reader section of the bookstore, as opposed to just pegging it into the graphic novel section. Because I'm serious. Next time I take the kids to Chapters, I'll take you with me. Mm-hmm. It's a huge little section.
I'd love to go.
Just tons and tons of different books, different stories and stuff like this, all done in graphic novel format.
Remember the last time we went to Chapters with your kids? Aaron brought me up this book, The Day the Crayons Came Home, and she got me to read that to her.
There you go.
That was a great book. Parents, if you're out there, Day the Crayons Came Home, buy it for your kids. It's one of the best kids' books you'll ever...
Don't even get me started on books, otherwise I'll start ranting about Jacob Tutu and the Hooded Fang.
I heard about that. That was a Facebook thing.
Anyways, that's...
Okay, that's another...
It's not comic-related.
That's not comic-related.
Anyways, you've been so quiet. Dan, what are you thinking about over there?
Well, I do have some... I don't know if we're still in the news section. Is this just a
spin-off? Oh, no.
Just go for it, my friend.
We don't really have a format today.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Jeff Burton about some Aurora Man news.
Yeah.
We featured an interview with him on our website a couple weeks ago.
He's a great guy. I was talking to him online one day, and what a solid guy.
Enjoying
his stuff.
He's really super excited, and you know he's lots of fun to talk to.
Yeah,
and so the day after we did our interview, he actually got interviewed for his local radio station, and then somebody from the CBC heard that interview and contacted him for a further interview, and he did a live interview on the CBC, which was pretty cool. And he's also saying that Aurora Man comic strips are going to be featured in their local movie theater as part of the pre-show show.
Wow.
So they're going to have the comic strips in there. And he's working with CBC Books in Toronto about trying to get something together to promote the character.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to start a Kickstarter up next month to try to go towards the release of the first Aurora Man comic book in June.
Oh, that's great.
Well, Jeff just put our names down on the Kickstarter right off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, just
automatic sign up.
Just automatically sign us up. We're in.
Well, we're in. Definitely 100% in behind him. And, you know, Definitely.
No pressure there, Jeff.
Well, I'd like to see the book. He's a good guy. It's a good property, and to have a CBC behind you, that's great.
Yeah, it's all been really happening pretty fast for him.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Well, I think there's just you know, we were talking to Steve at CBA today, mm-hmm. and he was talking about how in the previews there's like 500 publishers, and some of them you never hear anything about, and you don't know what to order, and it's just, you know, all these chaotic little publishers. But he orders 25 copies of Captain Canuck every month.
And he sells them.
And he sells them. Yeah. You know, he's ordering Pitiful Human Lizard every month, mm-hmm. and he's selling them.
Yeah.
So it seems like the Canadian comic book community right now is really excited about Canadian comics, mm-hmm. like local.
Go Canadian Comics, hooray. Canadian Comics.
Now, you know, local, I mean, we are talking Saskatchewan. Yeah, that place.
Oh, I think it's great. I was talking to the fellow, we were at the Lindsay Hero Fest.
Oh, gosh, we were everywhere today.
We did a whole, that's why I was sleeping. We started at 9 a.m.
Sam was tuckered out.
Well, I was up late last night reading Stray Bullets. I'm finishing up Stray Bullets. It was 3:30 in the morning. I had six.
All I got to say is Stray Bullets better be good, because I just spent $60 worth of cash buying issues 1 through 33.
But the thing is I was whimpering as I watched you do it, because I wanted them. So if it doesn't work out for him, he can just sell them to me. I will buy them off you.
They better be good.
If you don't like it, I will totally buy them. I am so... I don't know the word, because I never get angry if someone gets something before I do.
Jealous? That's the word you're looking
jealous?
For. Jealous?
I'm definitely jealous.
Whatever you do, don't tell Dan about the North guards that I found.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
CBA warehouse.
Well, anyways, we were in
an entire set.
But anyways, we were in at the Lindsay Hero Fest today, and I was talking to a guy from Toronto about the new Chet Brown book, Mary Wept at the Feet of Jesus, which is coming out, I think, next month or the month after. It's a original graphic novel by Toronto's Chester Brown.
Yeah, but that's highbrow.
It is, yes. It's extremely highbrow.
That's highbrow.
It is. He's won multiple awards for his last two books, which were Paying for It and Louis Riel. And this, again, I think is his first work in a few years, and people are extremely excited about it. There is already a buzz.
That's like marketing the John A. McDonald action figure. I just don't see Transformer collectors being excited about the John A. McDonald action figure.
Chris is yelling at his radio right now. I'm excited.
I'm pretty confident there's at least two John A. McDonald action figures hanging on the peg wall there at the toy shop on
Hunter
Street.
Well, it could be so, but what are you saying is that people who write serious graphic novels in the Canadian comic industry aren't as
The Life and Times
they have
of
to have lizards in them.
The Life and Times of Louis Riel is no Babysitter Club.
No, it's not. It has won multiple a book award.
No, I read it. It's good.
It's really good. It's fantastic. The new book is not about John A. McDonald or Louis Riel, but what it actually is, it's a history. It's actually Chester Brown documenting in comic form all these stories of prostitution in the Bible.
Wait, are you allowed to say that on the
prostitution?
Radio? Prostitution?
Yeah, of course I can say prostitution.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's biblical.
That's not one of the banned words? No. Prostitution?
So basically, it's a comic version of all the...
Hold on, the CRC just dinged me. I don't think we're allowed to say the word prostitution on the radio.
Anyway, I was in touch with Chris, actually. I asked Chris how he's... Chris, if you want to meet a genuine celebrity. They have a few celebrities at the Hero Fest in Lindsay, but our friend Chris Gilpin is
who just texted us and said he is indeed excited about a Johnny McDonald action figure.
Thanks, Chris.
So he was listening.
So Chris, yes, Chris is at
one listener.
Yeah, Chris is set up at Hero Fest for the next 2 days. So go talk to Chris, buy his stuff, shake his hand, say you love Hey Kids Comics. And that you love Chris, because all of us love Chris. Chris is a great guy.
And
Chris
so that
is at Hero Fest.
So you know who Chris is. He's going to dress up like John A. McDonald tomorrow. Because otherwise, they'll just be walking around going, you Chris? Are you Chris? And there's going to be a lot of Chris's there, I'm sure.
Well,
Chris.
It's our Chris. He has the table. He's right behind the woman from Corner Gas.
That's a pretty prime spot then.
It is, yeah. She's right behind Chris. So if you see her and you look behind her... And there's this big bald guy. That's Chris.
Because there was only one woman from Corner Gas.
That's right.
In the entire show.
No, well, the I don't watch Corner Gas, so I don't exactly know who she is. Why don't you...
Taryn Spencer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's right. If it was... yeah.
If it was Archie, you would know.
I would have been all over it. But yes. Well, Hero Fest. Do you have a good time today at Hero Fest?
Yes. Okay, so Hero Fest, right?
A for effort.
It's an organization that is trying to put on comic shows in some smaller venues and, you know, service the crowd. Mm-hmm. Lindsay is not exactly a booming metropolis, and the show reflected that. But, I mean, there was a wide range of stuff there.
Definitely a wide range.
There was a lot of good stuff. Mm-hmm. I met Dan Day there.
Yeah.
I saw Captain Steve-O was there. Didn't get a chance.
Yes, I saw
Sorry,
him.
Captain Steve-O. Dr. Steve-O.
Dr. Steve-O was there.
I didn't get a chance to say hi to him in my Captain Polska voice.
Yeah.
But I think he was playing with swords or something like that. They had a vintage video game section, and they had some big screen TV set up with that. They had a concession stand. They had a couple of celebrities there.
Yeah.
The Miss Spencer that we were talking about.
The woman from, I can't remember her name, My Bloody Valentine. Yeah. I saw that last week, actually.
Exactly.
So I could connect to something while I was there.
You know, merchandise was there. Kevin Boyd was there from Paradise Comics and a few other folks.
Yes, Kevin. I was talking to Kevin.
Lots of, like, you know.
He was the guy I was talking about.
There's lots of stuff
Chester
there.
Chester Brown's Mary Wept at the, it was Kevin, yeah.
You know.
So it was definitely, you know what? It's a nice looking show.
I think it's a nice show. I'm not sure if $20 admission might have been a bit
steep. A little steep for that, yeah.
You know, maybe $20 for the whole weekend, $10 for a day. Mm-hmm.
I think maybe if it was closer to the 401, it might have been a little more.
Yeah, well, that's the point of these, though, is to put a show in a place that doesn't usually get a show.
Okay.
You know, that's the whole point of it. You know, they're going to do one in Lindsay. There's one in Kingston, which that kind of voids my argument because Kingston is on the highway.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they should have brought it right into Peterborough.
Lindsay's yelling at us right now. We're our own town.
I'm just saying, I don't mean to sound cynical or sarcastic, but when we were at Comic Book Addiction's 10th anniversary party today, I think there was more people there.
No.
Well, I had more. No, I had a lot just, harder it was time just, it was walking
a,
around.
It was a smaller building.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
I mean, come on. We had a cosplayer at CBA.
We had a cosplayer.
Victoria was
CBA.
Dressed up as
as
a Harley Quinn in a great costume, and Dylan was at Lindsay dressed up as Thor
in a great costume.
In a great costume.
He looked great.
So you know, one cosplayer. Mm-hmm. We did pretty good.
I would like to say that the cookies at did you have like cookies at CBA?
No, you took them all.
I did not take them all. There was lots
between
left.
Between the cookies that were left on your sweater and the cookies that were on the floor, like, honest to goodness, it was like the cookie OC is for cocaine.
Oh my god. Okay, so the cookies were made by Steve's niece.
Yeah.
Who Alex gave me the card. She's starting her own bakery catering company in the Durham region.
Not to distract you while you look for your card, but did you notice Alex's cosplay?
What was he?
I think he was dressed up as like a vintage record store employee.
he always looks like that. Alex collects records too.
I know.
Actually
talk
about records.
I'm just
he's
jiving
like a music
him.
Guy.
He's a good guy too.
He's a good guy. He has some of the best t-shirts. Have you ever noticed how he's... He has great. So the company, it's called Emma's Sweet Treats. It's in Oshawa. The number is, I won't do the number. I'll do it's mann1990@gmail.com. And she makes the best shortbread cookies you will eat in your life. There was cupcakes too, but I didn't have the cupcakes. But it was these cookies and
salmon food.
Serious for cupcakes too.
But they looked like comic book special. Looked like it had Wham Bam.
Amanomapia.
You know, and it was like the yellow things with the
yes. They're called Amanomapia.
Is that what they're called? Amanomapia.
Amanomapia.
Who made that word up?
Hey, I'm ethnic. Don't look at me to pronounce English words. Okay.
Who made that word up?
Don't make me start speaking Polish on the radio.
What are the origins of that word?
I don't know.
Well, let's do a phone into the origins of words show.
Okay.
On our next show,
we will. All right.
I'll phone my mom right now. She'll tell us.
So was that?
I just like to say CBA's party, 10th anniversary party was today. We were there. It was great. Lots of people there. Lots of people having fun. Cookies, cupcakes, sales going on. Everybody was there. No, not everybody was there, but there was a lot of people there. It was a fun day. It was a fun day at CBA.
Now, we ended up spending too much time in Lindsay and too much time at the warehouse, mm-hmm. Comic Book Addiction warehouse, and too much time at the Comic Book Addiction store that we didn't quite get to the Heroic Dreams mini convention. I was kind of hoping to get to that as well. But
they said Jason Liu was there.
Jason Liu was there signing mm-hmm. copies of his comic and Pitiful Human Lizard, for those of you who don't pay attention.
But for those of you who have plugged your ears during the last five shows when we talk about that comic book.
Five, I thought we'd
well, we'll be every seeing, single but you know line. What, we're going to be seeing Jason 2 weeks from now in Toronto.
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm excited. Now that has they put that out as a trade yet?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to buy the trade.
The first five issues were as a trade were at CBA.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to buy it from him then. When
And it's hilarious. I went to the rack to go pick it up, and I'm like, oh, good. I walked up to the counter, and there's Victoria going, dude, we already got one for you. We got you covered. Don't they worry know. About it. We got you.
They know you well.
Yeah, we got you. It's right here. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I'll take two.
Yeah.
I'll put it back. Do-do-do.
Yeah, but it was a fun I love the fact that CBA does little things. They had a great Christmas party. Like there was not a Christmas party, but the day of Christmas, like they had the treats and everything, and people was coming. I didn't get to go see any. They had comic creators at CBA today, but I didn't go see any of them.
Yeah, Jeff Iserwood.
What does he do?
He draws comic books.
Okay, what comic does he draw?
A bunch of them. Why do you always put me on the spot?
I don't
like
know
this?
Because you knew his name, and I've never heard of him.
Well,
so,
how can you not have ever heard of Jeff Iserwood?
I guess because I've been too busy reading stuff like Patsy Walker and Jem and the Grumpy Cat comic. Which I might add is one of the worst comics of 2014 was Grumpy Cat.
Man, he's done everything. Like he's done Silver Surfer, Conan, Daredevil, Doctor Strange. Wow. You know.
Did you go see him? Did you talk to him?
I did not. I was totally enamored in our conversation with Steve, one of the owners of CBA.
We had a great conversation
with Steve
today.
We were talking about the State of the Union.
Yeah,
so that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good. I was in. Yeah, I was definitely. Always love talking to Steve, and you don't always get to see him. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, having gone to Lindsay and then going to the Comic Book Addiction warehouse sale and getting to Comic Book Addiction. Oh, we all stopped at World's Collide.
We were at World's Collide
and lunch
twice.
Lunch at the restaurant that caught on fire.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's
the funding for an artistic rendition was not there, so I didn't step back there and try to get a
we had to go to World's Collide twice because there's a new Image book called The Discipline.
Jeez, we almost have to go there three times now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. Are you not going to drop that?
No way.
Oh,
I'm not going to drop
it. All right. Well, anyways.
So, yeah, we stopped at World's Collide because it's a good shop in Oshawa, too, and it was on the way and picked up a few things. When we left, Sam's like, oh, I forgot to buy a comic. I'm like, okay, well, which one is it? Well, it's the, what is it? The Division?
The Discipline.
The Discipline, which is definitely an adult-rated comic book.
Not for children.
Dan will not be reading this to his Scooby-Doo gang.
Dan won't even let us talk about it on the radio.
So after we were at CBA and they didn't have any there, Sam's like, well, can we go back to World's Collide and pick up a copy? I'm like, yeah, sure, only if you pick up two. And he goes, okay.
I do not remember that part of the conversation.
And then
we
drive there. He gets in. I take off around the corner the brain farting. What's that place called?
Toy Alley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comic Toy Alley?
Comic Toy Alley, something like that.
Yeah. Chris is yelling at the...
Yeah, Chris is yelling at the... How can you get it wrong? That's where my John A. McDonald figure is. Comic Alley Toys.
Hey, okay, there you go.
And just to take a look, because I'm missing one or two Star Wars figures for my first 21 set. So I thought maybe if they had one there inexpensively and it was in good shape, I'd pick it up. And he gets back, and then we get in the car, and we start driving. And I'm like, oh, cool, so where's my copy? Your copy of what?
What are you talking about?
I
don't remember at all saying I'd pick it up. I don't remember. I'm not saying I didn't say it.
Is there any chance
remember.
That Sam's pharmacist is a listener?
Oh.
I think a mistake has been made. He may have gotten my meds, and he may be I may be on his because both of us are not right this week.
No, not at all. Well, you can definitely borrow my copy of The Discipline, but I want all the pages sticking together when
no,
I get it back.
No, we're not going there.
Okay.
Nope.
So The Discipline by Image Comics. It's a book. We read it.
Next topic.
Next topic, yeah. If you're not allowed to say prostitution on radio, you're not going to be able to. You're not even going to be able to talk about this comic book.
Oh, it's a. I don't know where they're going with it, but I'm definitely buying number two.
Let's
two copies.
It's like a cross
two copies,
between
one for,
it's
a,
it's
one
a,
for Marty.
It's a
time.
Cross between The Exorcist and Debbie Does Dallas. It's out there.
It's out there. Yeah, I don't know if so. Debbie Does Dallas more like a. I was going to say a Russ Meyer film, but Russ Meyer film. No, it's not really a Russ Meyer film.
Well, while Sam ruminates on this, let's keep it clean.
It's definitely extremely erotic. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yes.
So, other than The Discipline, did you guys read anything good this past week?
All I've been doing is just reading Stray Bullets. Stray Bullets. I've never really gotten into it before, but I think it could be in my top three comic book series I've ever read in my life.
What year did that come out?
It was 90s.
And it was like independent publisher, right?
El Capitan was what it was the name of the publisher, by David LaPam, and it won all the Eisners back in the day, and that right now Image is doing David's doing some filler issues, filling in some of the holes from the original series at Image, and it just kind of went back in my head. So it was 41 issues in the last week. I think I have six more issues to read. Our friend Daniel read it in 1 week, and I started reading it, and then I'm like, yo, you should read this, Daniel, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's done it, and I'm still, another good book I discovered this week, it's an Image book, a new Image book called Postal, that's really, really cool, and I'm really enjoying that, and it's 10 issues in, and it's about this little town where criminals basically go to live. And the mayor who runs it with an iron fist, she has a son who's the local postman.
Now, there was a video game called Postal.
Was it?
And they made one of those really bad Uwe Boll knockoff movies of it. It's not related, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So the mayor's son is he has Asperger's, and but he reads all the mail, so he knows everybody's secrets.
How come he's allowed to say that, and I'm not allowed to say... prostitution.
But I can say mailman?
No, Asperger's.
Oh, Asperger's.
Because really, phrasing.
Well, I like burgers. And
this week on Hey Kids Comics, we get silly. Tune in next week.
Well, I say Postal's a great read. It's 10 issues in, and I've really dug that. Our friend Daniel bought most of the issues at CBA today. I think he was missing three, but he picked up seven issues of the 10.
Well, so. I'm just hoping Stray Bullets is good because I bought.
I told you I'll buy it off you.
Buy issues
for
what?
Twice as much.
I will
$100
off,
for Sam.
I will buy those off you.
I think I bought issues 1 through 24. Yeah. Number one was the second print. The rest were all first prints. Yeah.
Without ever reading
33
it.
And 42.
Well, I will buy if you're like tweet and me and Marty don't always like the same stuff. So if you don't like it. You just say, Tweedle, buy these off me. I will bring the money.
No, you heard it. I picked them up from the $5 bin at Comic Book Warehouse.
They were $2.50.
So. No, they were in the $5 bin.
They were in the $20 bin.
They were $2.50 because I went and bought the scraps that he left over.
Come on now, like, they were in the $5 bin right where the North Guards were.
You know,
I was going to say, so what was this about some North Guards? Because, you know, I just...
Well, I was digging through the bins and looking for stuff, and since I kind of... took all the Captain Canucks except the 12 copies of number 5 that they have there.
You bought a Captain Canuck today.
I did, but that was from Gilpin. I bought a number 7. I couldn't help myself. I'm telling you, every time I see a Captain Canuck in the wild, I got to buy it. Even though, you know...
Gilpin's not the wild, though.
Yeah, this is true. Chris is not exactly the wild, but...
He's far from the wild.
You got to support your pals, too.
You do. But that's why you should go to Hero Fest and buy stuff from Chris.
So what I was trying to
do... He has My Little Ponies.
What I was trying to do is not start at box 1 and work all the way to box 500. I kind of wanted to... pick and choose, you know, from a budget point of view. Let's not go crazy. So I thought, hey, somebody asked me about a set of North Guards, and I'm like, what's the chances they've got some new Triumph featuring North Guard? So I go into the new section. No. Go into the NO section, and there it was, 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, cool. So I just picked them up. And, you know, I don't know. I think, Dan, you're good. You've got your set now.
Yeah, I just bought a set from somebody in the States and paid $25 shipping.
Wow.
Oh, $2, man. $2 each for the comics, though.
Don't even. I mean, I just bought 3 comic books from a fellow. There was one comic I really wanted, so I bought it, and then, you know, it's like $15 shipping for the one comic from the States. And I'm like, okay, well, if I get a couple more comics, he'll combine shipping. It'll take some of the brunt out of it. So I picked, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 comics. Yeah, no combined shipping on all 4.
Oh, man.
So I'm like, dude, you can't charge me $60 in shipping. Well, I'll see what I can do. So we'll see what happens, but I'm not going to pay $60 shipping for 4 comics. I'd rather take the hit and get banned from buying from eBay, which would not be a bad thing.
Yeah.
For 6 months, rather than you know, get hosed on shipping like that. So we'll see.
So now back to these Northguards. Was the number one a first print?
I cannot recall off the top of my head. I'll have to take a look. I know in my personal collection, I got both first and second print, and just off the top of my head, I can't remember which one is which.
Basically, like the ones I bought online, the guy had like 4 copies of the first print, and I just bought them all because I was buying something anyways.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The more comics you buy, the less the shipping works out to be per comic.
Exactly.
And so I was just like, yes.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, the trade dress, like the cover, like the logo and everything on the first print is completely different from
like the
2, 3, 4, and 5. But on the second print, it's the same.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I think...
Because there's like a big like maple leaf, big red maple leaf on the first print that's not on the second print.
So I think it might be a first print, but I'll have to double check.
That's cool. So I just ordered mine on Sunday, Saturday. What? I don't even know what day it is today.
It is
Saturday. I'm lucky I made it on the radio, I guess, if I don't know what day it is today. I think I ordered it Wednesday. So hopefully those will be in sometime next week.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And I also found a whole bunch of cool, supposedly near mint Captain Canuck comic books online too.
Oh, great. From the original series?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
And a couple, a green Reborn number one.
If not, I think Marty has 12 of each copy.
It best not be another French one.
It's not. Now I did actually reach out to Richard about the French comic book.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know where there's any more, so you're out of luck, Marty.
I actually got in touch with the inker.
Really?
Wow.
And he says he has 1 copy left of number 0, his personal copy, so he's not letting go of that. But he has quite a nice stack of number 2s.
Oh, there you go.
So
the number 2s that aren't selling on eBay.
Oh, well, see, that's the thing. We've got a plan.
You've got a plan. On that nefarious note, perhaps we'll end this this edition. So, good show.
Good show.
And
good show.
Yeah. Hooray, let's give ourselves a pat on the back. And
I hope everybody will listen to us next week.
Maybe we'll have our meds right.
I think that's probably not going to happen.
All right.
So, yeah, tune in next week.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy, I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.